Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 401, What's in Your Heart? Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, December 22nd, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We are starting, today we're launching into a new series called Hearts Alive in 2025, and I get the privilege of kicking it off, so this is fun. Hearts Alive in 2025. Do you want your heart to be alive more than it was in 2024, in this coming new year, right? That's a good thing to aim for, right? And with Jesus, we can do it. Praise the Lord. He's going to show us, he is showing us how we can live and walk that out to have our hearts alive in 2025. And so today's message number one of this maybe four-part series, to be continued. We'll see if he turns it into more, because as I'm digging into the word about the heart, do you know how much is in the word about the heart? God speaks about the heart a lot, so maybe we could do more than four messages on this. So the state of our heart matters to God. What's inside here, it matters. It affects everything we do. Our heart is the core of who we are. It's the core. It's like our inner being, right? It's a human's thoughts, passions, desires, affections, purposes. That is all stored in our heart. We're not talking about the physical organ, the heart that pumps blood, right? You can't see that physical organ, and you can't see my heart that we're talking about today, the core of who I am. But there's a lot that goes on in the heart, right? In both hearts, the physical heart and this other heart that we're talking about. There's a lot that goes on in there. And sometimes we think that we're really good at hiding what's in our hearts. And you know what? Most of the time, we're really bad at that because we think we can put stuff in our heart. This is the lockbox of my heart here, a person's heart, and hide it away, and we think that nobody will see what's in our heart. Well, guess what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So whatever's locked away inside of here, you can tell what's going on in my heart by what you hear me say, first of all. Right? And there's lots of other things by the choices that I make, how I carry myself, what I do, the actions. If I'm hiding back there in the back and people are saying hi to me and I'm like shy and putting my head down, well, there's something, you know, our heart drives what we do, how we act, how we feel, our emotions. It drives everything, right? Proverbs is a great book and it talks about this. It talks about the heart, among many other places in the Bible. But let's look at Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, so above all, everybody say, above all. That means what's coming next, it's got to be above all. It should be a priority, right? Above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Look, see, I didn't make this up, what I was just telling you. It's in the Word. They affect all that you are. Pay attention. This is from the Passion Translation, by the way, Proverbs 4, verse 23. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. What's inside here, this lockbox? Pay attention to what's inside and the state, the condition of your heart. From there flows the wellspring of life. Out of your heart flows everything else. It determines your beliefs. It determines your emotions. And then your emotions are going to lead you to certain actions, certain decisions, right? And that all originates where? In the heart. In the heart. So we are told, is this God's job to guard our heart? No. Is it our pastor's job to guard our heart? Thank God it's not. I can't guard your heart. You've got to do that. This is for you. Everybody has the role, the responsibility of guarding their own heart, guarding the affections of your heart. Pay attention to the innermost being. That's a description of your heart, a definition of your heart. It's the innermost being. It's your core. Out of that flows everything else. The wellspring of life, like a fountain of life, comes out of what's in your heart, good or bad, positive or negative, right? Wow. I always thought of it like this when I learned this scripture, I don't know, years ago. I always saw a security guard or like, you know, those toy soldier guards, like that are dressed in red and have the black cross in with the big, you know, toy soldier. That's kind of what I see when I think, hear that scripture, guard your heart. You have the responsibility. I have the responsibility, and you could picture it in a different way, but I picture a guard like that, a security guard, that I station at the doors of my heart and that I employ with the help of the Holy Spirit when something is wanting to enter my heart like a thief trying to break in. Something that doesn't belong in my heart, according to God's word, right? Hatred doesn't belong in my heart. And so, or frustration or anger or anxiety or fear or all these negative things, right? Negative according to the word of God. That he designed our heart to be pure, to be lovely, to be genuine, to be full of truth and to hold truth. Right? And so when somebody cuts me off in traffic, right, the guard might get a chance to get employed. You know, like a thought of anger or frustration or whatever. Maybe fear of like, I'm going to get in an accident. They're going to run into me. You know, whatever it is, it can trigger me. Right? And so it might just be, sometimes it's just, you know, there's a difference. And I learned this years ago and was like, ooh, wow, that's interesting. That there's a difference between something that comes to your mind, a thought, and then something that comes in your heart. And that was a relief to me because it's like, you know, the longer, like thoughts can come, like in that scenario of somebody cutting me off in traffic, a thought can come, but I, you know, usually with that, I don't struggle that much. Help me, Jesus, you know, to be even better, to come up higher. But, you know, that's just a thought and it goes away. But if there's something, you know, maybe on a deeper level that it's a struggle or it's a battle, more of a battle, that can threaten to go from my head to my heart. And sink down, like I'm really starting to believe on this thing. Let's say it's a lie or, you know, whatever it is, fear or something that's trying to threaten, right? And so it's up to me to employ and activate that security guard. Woo, 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 like get that thing out. There's an intruder trying to come, right? Me and my sound effects, I know. I'm keeping you all awake, it's all right. So we have to pay attention, that word said in Proverbs 4:23. Pay attention. When there's an alarm going off with the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to pay attention, hopefully, to that. And you're going to, you know, act accordingly. Get out, you know, get out in Jesus' name. You got to take authority that we have been given in Christ Jesus. Take our authority because everything in our lives is impacted by what goes on inside of our hearts. Right? Our attitudes, the way we approach everything, the way we approach circumstances, relationships, the doctor's report, our health, everything. It's stored away in our heart. Our heart then will determine our attitude about things. A life event, let's say something, you know, occurs in your life, you know, as a child, good or bad, that is going to form a belief system, a way of thinking, a way of believing about certain things in your heart, whether, like I said before, whether it's a truth or a lie, whether it's positive or negative, that gets formed in your heart. That's a belief system that's then going to affect your emotions, that's going to drive your actions and your decisions. So the idea is that we work with the Holy Spirit so that our belief systems, what I'm thinking, is lined up to the truth of the Word of God. So that everything after that comes out of that comes out of my heart, my attitude is lined up to how He would want me to think about a situation, even if it was difficult or if it was traumatic, right? And so sometimes we need to work with the Holy Spirit. First of all, to ask Him, is there something that is in my heart that doesn't line up to Your Word? And here's a plug for discipleship. Because when you're going to be real and honest and vulnerable with what's in your heart so that you're not, you know, putting on a false, like a face and pretending that everything's okay when it's really not, you can be vulnerable. You don't do that to everybody, you know, the whole world. Hey, I'm struggling with this, you know, right? But discipleship. Who is helping you? Who are you imitating that's imitating Christ? Go to your cell group leader. Talk to a leader here if you don't have a one-on-one disciple maker. You know, but that could be a person that you go to and like, hey, you know, the Holy Spirit is shedding light on some things that I'm believing that I realize aren't lined up to the truth of the Word, and it's affecting my heart, and it's affecting the way I do life, right? Let's get discipled. Let's be following Jesus, being on, being changed by Jesus, and then being on mission with Jesus, right? So a few weeks ago in our Healing Masterclass, we had a lesson about the power of your attitude, and it really hit my heart about, wow, this teaching from Barry Bennett, and he talked about the image that you carry of yourself on the inside, how you see yourself, and the image also that you carry on the inside that nobody could see, and many times we don't say that, you know, how we see ourselves, but it's there, it's how I think of myself and how I think of God, right? That is a prophetic picture of my future. Think about that. So how I see myself on the inside, if I see myself as weak and lowly and not quite or inferior or something, then that's a prophetic image or prophetic, what did I say? Prophetic, lost my notes, prophetic something, prophetic declaration of, picture is a good way to say it, of my future, right? Because how am I going to be able to walk into the destiny, the hope and the future that God has for me if I see myself as, oh, lowly Sarah or, you know, whatever. Because that's not what the truth of the Word says, right? And so I've got to have the truth of what the Word says in my heart so that I can walk into what He has for me. Praise the Lord. And whatever lie it is you're struggling with, right? We've got to get our minds renewed to the truth of the Word, because that's what will be in your heart, stored away in your heart. So he talked about that. And, you know, in that class, he was applying that principle in the area of health and healing. And he said, you know, many sick Christians who have an image of themselves as being sick. So it's like, here we are learning about healing, and how is somebody, they're going to be hindered to walk in to receive their healing if they always see themselves sick on the inside. They always see themselves in a wheelchair or always hooked up to, you know, however your sickness manifests, that you need medicine or you got to do this, that, and the other thing, and it robs you, it steals you of your time, your peace, your money, all these things, right? And so the image that you carry on the inside of all things, but applying in this case to healing, is important because God sees you healed and He wants you to receive that and see yourself healed and see yourself strong in every way, right? And so the truth is, you know, that might be an image of somebody who's sick that sees themselves sick, but the truth is that, I'll take, use it myself as the example. I am healed resisting sickness, not that I am sick trying to get well, right? Because Jesus already did it for me at the cross. And now I'm just going to start preaching about healing because it's really where I'm focused these days and it's what's in my heart. But it's okay. I'm just applying this thing about the heart to this topic for just an example. So a person with a healthy heart, a healthy image of who God is and who they are, is going to see themselves according to the word, right? A healed person sees themselves, or a healed person resisting sickness. I am a healed person resisting sickness that's coming, trying to come on me or stay on me, right? I'm not a sick person trying to get well. I'm already healed because that's what God says. You are healed by his stripes. By his wounds, I have been healed, right? Praise the Lord. And that applies to all of you as well, because that's what the word says. This can be applied to every area, like I said, relationships. What's in your heart about, okay, the first relationships in a person in your life, your father, your mother? What's in your heart about that? Because, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, we have, you know, not received fathering that came from the heart of God, that he desired for you, or mothering that he wanted you to have. And that's unfortunate. And if you have a wound, if a person has a wound from their mother or their father and the treatment that they received as they were a child or even present day, then that's going to affect a lot. That's going to be in your heart, locked away. It could be locked away. You think it's locked away, but it's going to come out. And it's going to definitely come out in your relationships, how you relate to people, right? It's going to affect some things. And especially talking about how you relate to your father and the treatment that you receive from your earthly father is how you're going to relate to the heavenly father when you're trying to have a relationship with him, your heavenly father, that you can't see. What's in your heart first about your earthly father? Maybe he wasn't even present, and I'm sorry about that. Maybe he was absent in your life, and so you're like, I try to connect with God, but I don't even, it's just like nothing there, because you didn't receive that fullness in your heart that was supposed to come through your father, right? Something was damaged. And God wants to restore. You're all looking at me like, oh, this is so sad. It is sad, but guess what? Jesus is the one who transforms. He's the one that makes all things new. And he is the one who heals the brokenhearted. He's done it in my life. And every lie that I believe because of how my family was, or the messages that I told myself because of my birth order or whatever, you know, circumstances, things that happened, God has restored it and he continues to restore it and take me deeper and deeper in his truth as he reveals to me what's really in my heart. Sometimes we don't even know what's in our heart. It's so hidden because it's a human tendency or something with like extreme trauma that we even block things out that in our conscious we don't even know. Like I couldn't even tell you if I wanted to confess something because maybe it was so traumatic and it just, I'm not aware of it. You know what I'm talking about? But God can heal all things. And we've got to get our heart healed. And we do that by surrendering our heart to him, guarding our heart, watching what comes in and what comes out. Okay. What's in your heart about trials, difficult things? What's in your heart about learning? What's in your heart about money? So many things of life, right? Are guarded in our heart, stored in our heart. Whatever is in there, your beliefs, it'll shape your attitude, your approach, good, bad, positive, negative, lovely, ugly, whatever. So the Proverbs tells us to do that work of guarding our heart, paying attention to what's in there. Okay, let's move on. The Holy Spirit obviously is the one that helps us do that. So the Lord, how does the Lord see us? Because we think sometimes that we have these, you know, things in our hearts and that nobody sees them. Guess what? The Lord sees them. He knows. Even if we fool some people at church and we put on a good face, the Lord knows. He knows what's in our heart. He knows which things that we're believing and that's affecting us that doesn't line up to his truth. And he wants to heal those things. He has compassion on us for those things. The Lord looks on and cares most about our heart, not appearances. Not about how I look on the outside, but really what's in here. He's a genuine God, and he wants us to be genuine people that can reflect purity and that can reflect him, not putting on a mask and hiding under something. He sees the truth of what's in our heart, not what we just choose to show to other people. Jeremiah 17, let's look at these verses, 5 through 10. This is in the NLT, and this is in the context about the context of Judah's sin. This is what the Lord says, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says, cursed, this is so strong, listen to this. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But, here comes the good news, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. I'm in verse 9. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. That's what we're talking about when we try to hide stuff. Secret motives. What's the motive of your heart? I give all, back to the scripture, I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Wow. Did you know that your heart is the most deceitful above all things? That's good news on Christmas service Sunday, right? Welcome to church. Merry Christmas. Your heart is wicked. Repent and turn to Jesus. Our heart is deceitful. It tricks us. It doesn't tell us the truth. That's our job, to get into the truth, to press into who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Thank God he lives on the inside of me, the Spirit of truth, that's going to go, what's in your heart? What's in your heart, Sarah? What's going on in there? And I got tested this week. Woo. Of course I did. I'm going to preach on what's in my heart. So all this stuff starts coming to my mind and my heart this week. Ah, yeah, praise the Lord. God is good. My heart, wicked. Jesus, come with your truth. Help my heart. Help my heart. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he still loves us. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. He still loves us, even though, you know, the word just tells us that he says that our heart is wicked and deceitful above all things, but he still loves us. And inside our heart is where he wants us. There's another scripture that says, in my heart is where we're supposed to hide his word. In the most deceitful, wicked place. Yes, we need his pure, honest, true, lovely, noble word inside that wicked place to transform it. And it can. It can be. We can be transformed when we get that inside there. But putting on appearances doesn't help. Doesn't help us. It doesn't help anybody, because God sees the truth of what's in our hearts. There's a scripture in 1 Samuel. Let's look at this one. And it says, this is in the context of God sending Samuel. God tells Samuel to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons. And he doesn't know which one it's going to be, right? And so he's looking at them. And Samuel's first thought is that, oh, it should be this guy, Eliab. He's like real tall and is good stature. And the Lord says, nope, that's not it. And he goes through all of them, and no. So he asked Jesse, do you have any other sons? Yeah, the guy out there, you know, David tending the sheep. Well, bring him. And guess what? This is what God says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him, talking about Eliab. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. He can get right to the heart. He knows right what's in there. We look at outer things, the appearance. Oh, they look put together. On the inside, are they dying? Are they just wearing a mask? God wants us to be genuine, not fake like the Pharisees. Who? Right? The Pharisees in the New Testament, putting up appearances. Jesus called the Pharisees, the religious folks, he called them whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. He called them hypocrite, you hypocrites. Wow, help me, Jesus, because I don't want to be lined up on that side. Appearing one thing, but on the inside have a different reality. He says in Matthew 23, Jesus says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like religious people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Oh, me. Oh my, amen. Whoo, I'm reading some tough scriptures today. Because guess what? We all need a clean up, a sweep out of our heart, because it is deceitful at times, all the time. And we think we can handle it, and we think we can manage our hearts, and guess what? Stuff is falling out like, oh yeah, I think I'm all put together. I'm going to go to church and kumbaya, Jesus is my Lord. But like how I act, it's as if I'm like losing all my marbles. And somebody's like, are you okay? Oh yeah, yeah, I'm all right. What's down in here? What's down in here that you think you've locked away? Wow. We don't want to be like hypocrites. We don't want to be whitewashed tombs that on the inside, you know, on the outside they look nice. On the inside, dead stuff, impurity, filth, lies. Help us, Jesus. Our heart can be far away from God and his truth, and it can cause our attitude to be smelly, rotten, right? Contaminated, despite how we choose to appear and carry ourselves. There's so many other examples in scripture of this, but for sake of time, we'll just move on. So, you guys are like, oh my gosh, all this hard stuff. All right, how do I get there? How do I get a healthy heart? How do I have a guarded heart? Like, how can I achieve that? Give me some good news, Pastor Sarah. Give me the practical. Practical? You want practical? Let's read Proverbs. It's going to smack you around. That's how I always felt about the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3. This is a map, and we could go through all of Proverbs 3. I just chose to stick with 1 through 4 right now. But in the Passion Translation, here's some keys for us. How to have a healthy, guarded heart. So Proverbs 3, verse 1, it says, my child, he's calling you my child. Like, I love you. You're my child. He's calling you my child. You belong to me. If, that's a condition, if you truly want a long and satisfying life. Anybody? Long and satisfying life? Sign me up. Yep. Okay. Never forget the things I've taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. All right, there it is. There it is. If you want a long and satisfying life, you better be guarding your heart. You're going to have to guard your heart. Never forget what God has taught you and continues to teach you. I'll add that in. Follow closely every word that he's given you. Has the Lord spoken something to you ever? No? Yes. Are we awake? Yes. Okay. So share that with somebody else. That's your testimony. If you just have one testimony, one thing that God has spoken to you, what has he done? Review that of God's goodness. Review that over. Share it with somebody else. Reading and looking at and focusing on God just a few times, just like, oh yeah, mental ascent, like I know that up here, it won't have the same effect to prolong and give you long years, a satisfying, filling life and bring peace to your life as when you keep, and keep means to maintain or tend, to take care of something, like you keep a garden, like you maintain it. As you keep his commands inside of your heart and closely follow every truth. So there's a difference between these two things of like, oh yeah, yeah, Jesus loved me. Yeah, I know that. I know that up here, but are you walking that out? Is that in your heart that Jesus really loves me? Follow closely behind that word. Put it inside your heart and maintain that in your heart. Because things in life will come to threaten that truth that Jesus loves me. No, he doesn't love you. He didn't come through for you. You didn't get healed yet, or this and that, or you've had this long-standing thing, and shut up, devil! Jesus loves me through and through. And I have that etched in my heart. And I'm getting ahead of myself because that's another verse further on, and I love that one. But it's saying, if you want a long and satisfying life, if you want to live well, you got to take care of your heart. You're going to have a pure heart at the end, lined up to his truth. As will we ever arrive to the full 100% of that? Not until we get to his presence. But I can endeavor, I can strive to that. That should be my goal, that I'm walking in all of his truth, in all of his purity, in all of his loveliness. So never, it says, never forget the truth of the word that the Lord has spoken to you. Do you have it in your heart, what he has spoken to you? Is it there? Can you recall? Can you quickly tell somebody if they say, what has God done in your life? You've got something. It's in your heart. I like to write, like next to scripture that God has spoken to me, I write the date, and sometimes I'll write the situation if I'm praying about something, or, you know, family or whatever it is. And so this Bible, when I read it, it's like, oh, on the sideline, I saw a date the other day, 2006 or something. It was like a long time ago, 2011, different words. I'm like, this is my, what's it called? Like, my road, my map, my history page with God, my history book of what he's etched on my heart. But I got to keep that alive, right? Okay, so that was verse 1 and 2. Verse 3, Proverbs 3, says, hold on to loyal love and don't let go. This is how you can, these are things to do to help you have a guarded heart. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go, and be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity with truth written upon your heart. Okay, hold on to loyal love. God is love. Hold on to him with all that you are. Love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Hold on to him and don't let go. Be like a Doberman. Here I go with the dogs again. Bite on something. You know, a Doberman bites on something and it doesn't let that bone or whatever bone, let's say bone, go. It is mine. It is mine. The love of God is mine. It's in my heart. It's in there. It's etched in there. And I'm not letting that go. That is my plumb line, like Jonathan talked about last weekend. The plumb line of my truth, of my life, is God is love, and he lives inside of me, and I am loved by God. And so something threatens to, you know, swing me over to the side of rejection. No, I'm loved by God. I'm centered in the plumb line of his truth. Something threatens me to go over to the side of superiority, like I'm better, I'm going to show them, I got it all going on. No, I am centered in the plumb line of his love. I'm not better than anyone else. I'm not worse than anybody else. I am right there, steady, held in the palm of my loving Father. Hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy today. Thank you, Jesus. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go. Be faithful to all you've been taught. If you have the truth in your heart that you are loved and know how faithful your Father has been, Father God, Heavenly Father, then you should imitate that faithfulness. Be faithful in what you do. That comes out of your heart. That comes out of your heart. Being regular to something. When you get a revelation of how faithful God is, how consistent and steady, how long suffering he is, how patient he is. Oh man, he's so patient with me. My husband is patient with me, and God is so much even more patient with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I get a revelation of that, it's going to flow out of me. It's going to It's going to come out of me, and that faithfulness, I should be walking in that. So here comes, you know, cell group. Oh, I don't feel so good, or I got this going on. I think I'll just stay at home. I know I'm meddling a little bit here today. Faithful. I'm going to be faithful because my Father is faithful. I'm going to make a commitment. Okay, lead pastor said, preach it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to meddle. My flesh doesn't want to. What's in my heart? We got to keep our word and follow through with our commitments. Jonathan mentioned this, talked about how our words are binding, right? Be faithful to what he's taught you. And if he hasn't yet, you haven't yet, you know, maybe faithfulness is an area that you need to work on. Then work on it. Read scriptures about being faithful, about ask the Lord, the faithful one, to show up to you, to bring you a revelation of that so that you can get that to change your heart, you know, be transformed in your heart by that, and you can walk out in that. And you don't have to struggle with, oh, sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes, you know, this or that. Our flesh doesn't want to do a lot of things. But when we're held on to love, here's another example. Like, my flesh doesn't want to extend love or mercy or patience to my difficult, fill in the blank, neighbor. But when I have mercy and truth, the King James Version says that verse that we read, have mercy and truth bound about my neck. Another prop. Mercy and truth, that's represented by the word of God. His mercy and truth is included in his word, right? I know it's a little composition book because I need to get a little mini Bible. But anyways, when you have that, the mercy and the hesed, the love, the mercy, the hesed is a Hebrew word. It's for God's kindness. When you have that bound around your neck, like it says in verse 3 we're on in King James Version, then that's what's going to lead you. The neck is a symbol of our will and our conscience. So lovely neighbor is acting up and doing something, and my flesh wants to pull me in one direction and I respond one way, but I'm grounded in love. I have mercy, the hesed of God, bound around my neck. I've remembered the words that he has taught me, and that leads me to be kind to my neighbor. Praise the Lord, despite what my flesh does. But I have the choice, like Romans 8, I have the choice to walk in the spirit or to walk in the flesh, right? But what I'm saying is your heart controls that. Your heart can determine, you know, I have a thought, many thoughts that come to me about how my neighbor's treating me. This is an example. And that can get down in my heart, right? But if I say, no, the truth is that I walk in the mercy of God because I've received mercy from him and it's bound around my neck, and I'm going to allow my spirit, the spirit of God within me, to lead me like a steering a horse with a bridle and reins and stuff. Praise the Lord. Allow God's truth to be written on your heart to replace the lies that are in there, the lies that you have believed. Verse 4. Proverbs 3. That's how you will find favor and understanding with both men and God, or with both God and men. You will gain the reputation of living life well. So remembering his word, letting his word be etched, written, etched, like a carving, you know, like you can get things monogrammed, like a little silver, you know, ornament to hang on your Christmas tree. You can get it etched in there like a, you know, first Christmas, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Etch the word, his truth on your heart. Remembering that, letting his word be there so that it's not, things are going to threaten to come by and you go, no, move along. Woo, woo, guard your heart. No, move along. Right? I love the saying that, you know, a bird can fly over your head, but it doesn't have to make a nest up here. And that's more, I mean, I guess we could apply that to heart just as much as to thoughts. It's about thoughts that come. You know, a thought comes, whatever. I don't feel like going to cell group. Here I go again, meddling. And I can let it, If I let it stay there, it's going to build a nest, and that's going to get stronger, and then I'm going to act on that and say, oh, I'm not going to cell group tonight, right? Or I can say, you know, that's threatening faithfulness. I've got his word of faithfulness etched on my heart. I'm not going to let that thing build a nest up there. Move along, shoo, shoo, bird, shoo, fly, don't bother me. Unfaithfulness, don't bother me. Anger, fear, anxiety, don't bother me. Shoo it along. Did I lose you guys? You're all right? Okay. You're following? Praise the Lord. Let's keep our hearts pure with God's love, with his mercy, with his grace. That's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and men. It gets God's attention when we choose to walk in the Spirit and when we choose to keep in our heart what his truth is, what his word is. It pleases him. It pleases him. We get his attention. We win his favor, his blessing upon, his blessing is always upon us, but it gets his attention because sometimes, you know, we're acting in faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because sometimes when I put truth in my heart or in my mind that's not yet downloaded to my heart, I'm acting by faith. I don't quite feel it and live it and have revelation. So it's like by faith, God says that I'm at the head and not the tail, right? You know what I'm talking about? That sometimes you're not quite there yet. And when you read the word, you're like, ooh, it's like a measuring stick. You're like, yeah, I kind of fall short of that. You're like, you know that word's not alive in your heart yet. And you need to work with that. And you need to meditate on that so it can get etched in your heart. Right? And so it's like you're saying that by faith. You're taking that in by faith. Because I don't feel that, God. And And the more you meditate on it, he'll show you. He'll make it come alive to you. He'll show you his truth. And that's how it becomes etched in your heart. And that's how you win. It says, win, you will find favor and understanding, both with God and with people. God is the main object or the target of our love and our faithfulness. That's what we're talking about. And if you're truly focused on pleasing God and doing his will and his way, then guess what? People will see that and they will give you favor. We're not out looking for favor and affirmation and applause from other people, because when we have God's hesed, his mercy, his kindness, his grace etched on our hearts, I don't need approval or applause from other people, because I've got it here, right? But when we are seeking to please him and honor him and do his way and his will, other people will notice that, and you will gain favor with people. And that's a good thing. Not careful with your heart attitude, right? And your heart motive. Not so that you can puff yourself up with that and brag and be braggadocious, right? But so that you can brag on God and say, yeah, he's made me good. He made me that way. Boast in the Lord. Yes. So just a little a testimony. This is from several years ago that, just a minor little thing. I guess I'll just leave this here. Just dangling. It's something that happened with my at work. Like I said, this is several years ago. And it was like a discrepancy. It was a little bit uncomfortable. I'm one that kind of doesn't like a lot of conflict. So, it was a little bit uncomfortable. But I learned from this. And I had brainstormed one time in a meeting or something with my boss about something that I could do to bless the agency. And then I set about to do it, and I spent the time and the energy and the effort to do it, but I skipped a few steps. Like, I should have gone back to her and said, okay, like, worked up, I was like missionary mindset of just, yeah, I'm going to do this, and hey, I did this, and like in the world way of work, it was like, yeah, we need a contract. We need, like, tell me what you're going to do and how many hours and, like, how much payment, like, set it up ahead of time. And I was just like, duck out of water, like, didn't know. So, I just said, well, hey, I did this, extra project that we had talked about, what do you think about some, payment for that or whatever? And no go. Yeah, you should have come to me before. Like, that should have been set up, or like write out a contract of what that was going to be. And I was a little upset. I was like, I spent of my talent and ability to do this. Like, we had brainstormed and, but okay, I didn't really know the rules or play by the rules, because I didn't really know what the rules were. And so it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, to be honest. And I waited for a while. And, I had the project, so I didn't like release the project and say, here, well, you can use this, what I did, let it benefit. I just waited for a while. And then I suppose it was the Holy Spirit that said, just give it to them. Just bless them with it. And so I did. I said, well, whatever length of time went by, and I emailed it to her, like all the attachments, all the work I had done. It was I translated a bunch of documents into Spanish for the Spanish-speaking clients, is what I had done. And so the Lord said, just bless them with it. Give it to them. So I did, and she was thankful, but didn't have to pay me. And so she was happy and, whatever. And yay, we got these things. And you know what? That came back to help me to be a blessing. Sometime later, I needed a certain amount of hours for credentialing, and I had messed up and misunderstood how many hours I needed. And so I was short, like my packet of credentialing was due for the state to be approved and blah, blah, blah. And I was like so many hours short. And guess what? If I had gotten paid doing that, I wouldn't have been able to use those hours. So they said, well, it's like a like hours could count as like something that you did as like a volunteer, but not getting paid for. Well, guess what? Those hours that I spent doing that saved me. And I was able to justify that and write that up for my credential packet of you know, meeting the requirement. And it was like, it was me being faithful to the Lord when he said, you know, just give it to him anyway, just bless him anyway. And guess what? It came back to bless me. It came back to help me. God's favor and favor of man, I suppose, in that situation, that they said, yeah, you can use that. Wow. Awesome. Praise God. That taught me something. Like, I could have been bitter in my heart. I could have quit the job. I could have just said, you know, to heck with you. Like, I did this and blah, and you're not going to pay me and all this. And it was like, you know what? Just give them. It'll bless them. And it did. And people are still using those forms. Praise the Lord. So, conclusion. Proverbs 23:26. Oh, my son, oh, my daughter, give me your heart. I think that's the most important. Give your heart to the Lord. Give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. Let us take delight in following his ways. And we can only follow his ways and choose to walk his way if we have his word, if we're guarding our heart. His word and his truth, it comes alive in our hearts when we get it in there, when we open it up, his word, his precepts, his commands, and we allow it to transform our hearts and minds, then we will choose. We got to give him our heart. Surrender your heart to the Lord. And then Matthew 5:8, I'll close with this. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's get our hearts pure for 2025. And guess what? We're going into a time of fasting. What better time to get our hearts right, to get our hearts pure? Spend time with the Lord. You can do it now. You don't have to wait till the fasting days starting on January 1st through the 21st. But let's position ourselves to hear from the Holy Spirit about things that are in our hearts that maybe we didn't even know were there. Or we know we're there and there's been a struggle, but it's just, you know, it's my struggle. Lord, help us. Help us get your word etched into our hearts so we can be different, so we can have purity in here. Get rid of the false, the hypocrisy and the pretending and putting on appearances. If you need to get with your disciple maker, your cell group leader, reach out, get discipleship, get help on these things. First, go to the Holy Spirit and do that also. Let's get transformed because we got stuff to do in 2025. God has a mission for us. And if our hearts are messed up and our hearts are impure and we've got lies, how effective are we going to be? How effective? Time is short. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And that has to do with our hearts, the state of our heart. So guard your heart. Do it this Christmas. Do it today. Praise the Lord. And I pray that you have a very Merry Christmas with your families. You will have a Merry Christmas if you're guarding your heart. Praise the Lord. Spend time, like, was it Elizabeth that said, spend time in the secret place during these Christmas days. Spend time with him. Let him touch your heart. So, do you want to stand for a minute? You've been sitting for a while. Let's just pray to close. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, God. Oh, God, we respond to your word. And like you tell us in Proverbs, oh, my son, oh, my daughter, give me your heart. God, we give you our hearts. We surrender our hearts before you today. Thank you, Lord, that even though you say our hearts are wicked and they're deceitful, God, you want our hearts. You want to transform them. You want to pour out of your chesed, your kindness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, God, for filling our hearts as we give them to you. You fill them with your truth. You fill them with your peace, your shalom peace, where nothing is missing, nothing is broken. You are the one. Father God wants to just come and heal hearts today. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted. He wants to pour his balsam over your heart if you've been hurt in any way, so that you can then gain and be open for his truth, to receive his truth and get it etched on your heart. to let his love and his faithfulness be bound around your neck and let it lead you and guide you. So Father God, we just, oh, we thank you. We thank you for your truth hitting hearts right now. Your truth, the truth of your word, touching lives. Holy Spirit, you go deep where I cannot go. You go. Thank you for ministering to every heart and every life. Help us, Holy Spirit, to guard our hearts. We know that that's our job. We've got to do that. But you help us, Holy Spirit. You're our helper. You're our advocate. You come alongside of us. And we trust in you. Thank you, God. Thank you for purifying our hearts today and this Christmas season. Nothing is impossible. Somebody's saying, no, my heart's too wicked. My heart is too messed up. My heart is too blotted over. It's too stained. No, nothing is impossible for God. He will transform you if you let him, if you give him permission. He's a gentleman and he won't barge into your heart. You've got to give it to him. You've got to surrender and yield to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching and ministering your truth to every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.